Dead. The dead, we're gonna rise, righteous meeting in the sky. I'm going where no one died, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. So many gonna meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, then all of the dead are gonna rise. Righteous meeting in the sky. I'm going where no one died, heavenward bound.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here this morning. What a beautiful day it is. God is good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love God, sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Yes, and you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't know
what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Amen, amen. If you're watching by way of television this morning, thank you for tuning in to us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If we can pray for you, if you have a question about anything, feel free to call us, call a number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to minister to you this morning. If you're watching, those of you that are watching by way of live stream, we welcome you also to our live worship service this morning. Many of you that are sick, that are in your beds, or that you are in the hospital, we are praying for you and praying with you that one day, very soon, you will be able to join us here in our fellowship. We miss you. We miss you, and we want to see you, and we love you, don't we, church? Amen. We love you from the bottom of all of our hearts. For those of you that are visiting with us, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. But this is the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Hopefully you've already met some friendly Fifth Ward folks. If you haven't, shame on us. And somebody going to speak to you before the day is over with. Amen. God is good, and we just thank him. This beautiful weather we've been having in the past few days. You been enjoying it?
Yes.
You been enjoying it while you can. Yeah, you know, this is Houston, Texas. It'll be raining tomorrow, and after a while, it'll be so hot you can't hardly walk outside. But God is good. He is so good. We want to begin a series of lessons today. If you looked on our sign outside, it's entitled The Authorized Biography of Jesus. The Authorized Biography of Jesus. I challenged our young people a few weeks ago to master Jesus, to master everything you can learn about Jesus. A biography is when someone else writes a detailed story of another person's life. That's what a biography, an autobiography is when you, it's self-written, I write up something about myself. And I use the word authorized because did you not know that the only record that we have about the life of Christ is found in the Bible? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the Gospels. If we had to rely on worldly knowledge, or the knowledge of other individuals. We wouldn't know anything else about Jesus if we didn't have. Well, there are a couple of references by some of the Jewish writers that reference Jesus, but not a detailed description of his young life, of his death, of his burial, of his resurrection. You can only find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. And we want to embark on a study this month of April. And I want to begin, for some of you who have done, who've done this partially, but for some of us, I want to begin your personal journey. Did you not know, I was reading a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know how true this is. You know, I was reading something that said that 82% of people that go to church don't read their Bible on a daily basis. 82%. Now, they wasn't talking about the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. But they said 82% of people do not read the Bible. They only hear the Bible when they come to church or if they go to Bible class. And if all we have to know about Jesus is in the Gospels, then if we haven't read it, then we surely don't have the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And I wanna do it in a hopefully a very intimate way. And of course, we cannot cover everything, but I hope it will spark something in you, in us, that we would want to know more about. Why, Brother Gary? Because there are some bold claims that are written in the Bible about Jesus and by Jesus. There are some very bold claims. For instance, in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, it says that Jesus said himself, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now that says all power. Now if somebody has all power, don't you think you need to know who that person is? There are other passages in the Bible, like for instance in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, you be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so and Paul says, you be imitators of me as I am of Christ. There are other passages in the Bible, like John chapter 12 and verse 48, that Jesus says, he who rejects me and receives not my sayings. He says, my same words are going to judge us in the last day. That's what Jesus says about himself. It says also in John chapter 3 and verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but they will see the wrath of God. That's what the scripture says about Jesus. If we don't know what his words are, and we surely can't obey him. Lord have mercy. And then there are other passages in the Bible that relate to our personal lives. For instance, to those of us in here that are husbands, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, if we don't know about Christ and how Christ loved the church, we can't even learn how to love our wives. Amen, somebody? And then it tells the wives, it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives, for you to be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. See, everything relates back to our relationship and knowing about Christ. As unto the Lord, as you would unto the Lord, you be subject unto the wife. The Bible tells the children, obey your parents. Notice this, in the Lord, for this is right. All of it. It tells us, even as we work on our jobs, when you're working on your jobs, you work not as you're working unto men, but as unto Christ. And so we need to know about Jesus Christ. And notice this. If the claims about Jesus Christ are true, if they are true, should we not spend our entire lives on mastering his teachings and his commandments? If these claims are true, if he has all the power, if his word is going to judge us in the last day, if what he says is right, If I need to be a better husband, if I need to know how Christ loved the church, if I need to be a better wife, if I need to be a better, if all this is true, we need to know everything we can about Jesus Christ. And I know some of the brother, we know about Jesus. No, we don't know enough. Because we need to be modeling our lives after his teachings while we are on this earth. His and nobody else's. Men, women, boys, girls, workers on our jobs, older saints, young saints, all of us. According to the scriptures. And I just want to start the study this morning. And study about his life. I've been reading, and I use this title. I don't have a patent on this title. There are a couple of guys that have even written books about an authoritative biography of Jesus, and other people have written books. But you cannot write a biography about Christ without using the Bible. Amen. And so when you're reading it, it's commentary. But the prophets in the Old Testament. Everybody's all right this morning? The prophets in the Old Testament. Relax, but not too much. Don't go to sleep. I know it's early. The prophets in the Old Testament, they wrote about Jesus. And some of them, I don't even think they knew what they were writing. God gave them the words to write. And no prophet of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they wasn't writing their own words, but they were writing what God told them to write. And some of this, I'm going to be a little technical, because I know we have some young people in here. And say, Brother Gary, well, you know, I don't know what I believe. I understand that. But I hope you pay very close attention. There are prophets who wrote it. And actually, if I had time, I found every book in the Old Testament wrote something about Christ. I found at least 353 prophecies that either mentioned Jesus, that Jesus fulfilled, or they will be fulfilled. But they all are talking about Jesus. And so I'm giving you some numbers, so when you get some time, you start looking up some of this. Now I'll just mention just a few. For instance, in the book of Micah, you do know what Micah, well, maybe some of everybody don't know what Micah is. Micah is in the Old Testament. It's not Michael, it's Micah, M-I-C-A-H. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. This was a prophecy. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That's what Micah said. Now, Micah prophesied to the Jews. Also to some of the Samaritans, he prophesied. Now, to tie it in, to give it a little bit more credibility, Micah lived in about 750 B.C. I mentioned B.C. I love that, because even those who don't believe in the Bible and don't believe in Jesus Christ, they follow the calendar that was created. With Jesus at the center of our existence. B.C. meaning before Christ. Amen, somebody. They can't tell what day it is without acknowledging somebody believes in Christ. Micah, 750 B.C. How do you know that, brother? Well, I tell you what, if you don't want to go to the Bible, find Google or what's some of the other search engines that's online or whatever. Yahoo, Kings of Judah. The Kings of Judah are the Kings of Israel. Some people believe more in the Kings of Israel than they believe in Christ. And so maybe that'll lend a little credibility. Look up King Ahaz and King Hezekiah, King Asa. These are kings that lived around the same time that prophet Micah wrote this. And he said this, that Bethlehem, Epaphroditus, it uses that double word, but both of them refer to the Hebrew word for Bethlehem. He said it's too small. It was a small city. He says, out of Bethlehem, somebody's going to come forth. He's going to be a ruler of Israel. 750 years B.C. And then when you get to the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. We're talking about Jesus, okay? Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. This is Herod. He's actually looking for Jesus, and he inquires of the wise men, where is he going to be born? Not for a good reason, because he wanted to find out because he was king. He didn't want Jesus to be king. They said to him, in Bethlehem. Where? In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet. Now, they know about the Old Testament. He says, now, it's supposed to be in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, actually the city of Bethlehem, very, very, very small at that particular time. And he said, this is where this Jesus, that's one prophecy that we'll see that's been fulfilled in just a little bit. It's interesting because I think I got a picture. Do you have brothers, you had a picture of Bethlehem today? Bethlehem today, you might not be able to find it on my slide. There it is. Now, Bethlehem today, that's what it looks like. There's a 25-foot wall on three sides of the city. Now they say about 28,000 people live in Bethlehem. Anybody been in the Holy Land, been to the Holy Land? Anybody been over there? Raise your hand. You been or no? Nobody. We need to take us a trip to the Holy Land. What brother Willis, brother's been to the Holy Land. Yeah, somebody, one of y'all, get together a trip so we can go to the Holy Land. I guess it's gonna cost a little money though, huh? That's why we haven't been, huh? Probably, huh? Well, you know, I take that back. You know, I do want to go. I definitely want to go. I want to go, but I what do they have to eat over there, though, is what I want to know. They got to have some. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't. And the drink, they got some good water. That's Bethlehem today. Now, I mention that, especially to our young people. I'm going to take my time with this series. Because, see, this is a real city. Even today, it's a real city. But that's ages ago. And at that particular time, there were not that many people living in Bethlehem. But I wanted to show you that Bethlehem still is in existence today. We're trying to prove, notice, although there are no other books, that the Bible, your faith in God, your faith in who Jesus is real, it's true. Because there's some folk going to pull on this and going to challenge your faith and challenge what you believe in. But I mentioned Bethlehem because Jesus had humble beginnings. Everybody say the word humble. As we study about Jesus, it's going to keep coming up over and over again that one of the qualities that God adores, that Jesus lived, was humility. You remember that. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah 7:14. Another prophet, Isaiah. Now, Micah, some would call him a minor prophet, not because he's to be diminished because of the importance of the word, just because of the length of the letter, length of the book that he wrote. You have major prophets. Isaiah is a long book in the Bible, and called major prophets because of the length of it. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is another prophecy that I selected. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And Isaiah around 740, there about 700, 800 B.C., lived around during that time. And he makes this prophecy given by God, and he says, a virgin. Now, that's how can a virgin have a baby? Yeah. But he makes this prophecy. Just come out of nowhere. You know, God gives him what to say, and he makes this prophecy. And a virgin. He said, my, listen, what is he talking about? A virgin going to have a baby. Then we see it fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, the virgin, the angel came to Mary, shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the same thing that comes around 700 plus years later. The same thing he's saying. Well, that's powerful. Say the exact same thing, the exact same words. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. God, we talking about God. We talking about Jesus. We talking about Jesus. See, this isn't nobody. I know some of you are my youngsters in here. You know, you can learn a rap song. And you know what? In the rap songs, you know, and I'm not down on all rap. Hey, not all rap, but some of it I am. But a rap song, they talking so fast. And every now and then I listen, they talking fast. Because I can listen to some rap when I can understand what they say. But if you can learn that, you can learn this. That's all, the only point I'm making. Which is more important? Is it more important to know who all the rappers are than to know all the names of Jesus? I better keep moving. Another prophecy, Genesis chapter 22. This is just a few prophecies, Genesis chapter 22. See, some of this you're going to need for ammunition against the naysayers. Prove to me that Jesus lived. Prove it to me. This is your proof, part of your proof. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. In your seed, all the nations, he's talking to Abraham. This is when God actually literally spoke to Abraham. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac, and he obeyed his voice. And fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He told him, he says, Abraham, all your seed gonna be blessed, and you're gonna be a blessing to all nations. And here we have centuries later that it's coming into fruition. After Jesus is born in the book of Matthew, it gives the genealogy, his history of where he came from. And did you not know that the same promise God gave to Abraham, it has come to pass? Now he's the son of Abraham. Oh, yes. Son of David. That's beautiful. But Gary, I thought today is Easter. Aren't you supposed to be talking about Easter? Yeah. Well, some of our members know this. Some don't. See, some know it and some don't. I know why. I know it. I realize that. See, Easter, the word pasture, translated, I only found one time in the New Testament, King James translates, is the word for Passover. And see, people say we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Well, in churches of Christ, in this Church of Christ, and I say that, you know, just respectfully, we celebrate the resurrection every Lord's Day. And so for those of you that are visiting, I thank you so much for coming. We're glad that you're here, but we celebrate the resurrection. That's why this table is spread. And you see on the side of this table says, in remembrance of me. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what he told them. And then we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, what do you mean first day of the week, Brother Gary? I know Easter is the first day. Well, every week has a first day, amen? They came together. They worshiped on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, they came together. They worshiped on the first day of the week. So in the Bible, there was no such thing as an Easter Sunday celebration. The first day of the week, we commemorate his death, his burial, his resurrection, every Lord's Day. If you come next Sunday, we take him. Amen. That's my Easter sermon. Amen. So you do you love the Bible? Amen. Do you love the truth? I mean, I'm like this. I mean, look, that's like, you know, we people get all excited about Christmas and Santa Claus. Santa Claus, well, close your ears if you don't want to hear this. See, I mean, nowhere in the Bible, Jesus' birthday wasn't December the 25th. According to the scriptures, don't say when his birthday. We do know that, right? You don't mind me speaking the truth, do you? I mean, you should know the truth and the... Let's not perpetuate. I mean, if you're going to tell somebody, you know, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus, tell them, you know, this is just a story. Tell them the truth. Yeah, but I tell all my kids and my grandkids. Some people get mad, but yeah, you just bust my little child bubble. I'm sorry. My kids and my grandkids. This come from not grandkids. This come from Big Mama and Big Daddy. God is good. Amen. Amen. But we're not Scrooges or dogmatic. We know you probably got some new clothes for Easter. You got your new dresses and clothes. That's, you know, it's fine. But know the truth. Amen. Amen. And teach the truth. Amen. Now y'all getting me off my lesson. Okay, I got 15 minutes. I'm gonna take my time. Now so there are prophecies. And this is just a few that point us to Jesus Christ. They point out specifics. You know, they point out how he died, how he's going to die to the T. And so the credibility of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the credibility of the Gospels is you can confirm it. And you can confirm the very existence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to this world. And so the claims he makes, for instance, his birth. In Luke chapter 1, now the Gospels that give most of the details of his birth are Matthew and Luke, give more details. For instance, Luke chapter 1, verse 31. It's read in your hearing, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. The angels are speaking to Mary. And you shall name him Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Let's sing a psalm. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus in the morning. Yes, Jesus in the morning. Jesus, my Jesus. Jesus, when the sun goes down. Now, I know, you know, there are times, and you know, when we're giving sermons, we know there are times that we need to give lessons on relationships and lessons on the church growth. But the foundation of all the lessons is Jesus. Amen. That's the foundation. There's no church without Jesus. Amen. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Yeah, you need to know all of that. Yeah, you know, I know we spend our energy and our efforts and our resources trying to get accepted to colleges. We send our applications and we want to get that acceptance letter. And some of us, when we get grown, we want to join clubs. And some of us, we get in fraternities and we're hoping we get in and just praying we get in. Yeah. One place, one entrance. You want to be in the kingdom of God. Everybody. And God's application process is not that hard. It, Jesus says, whosoever will can be in his kingdom. But you got to follow, God's rules. You got to follow his leadership. And so this is the Jesus that we're talking about. But when you get a chance, read the accounts of Matthew, of Luke, all of the gospels, if you will. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Luke 2, 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth. Now, Joseph was, I don't have time to read all the details. You couldn't stand all the details right now. Joseph was Jesus' earthly father, but not his biological father. Mary's husband. He went out from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Oh, there it is again. The confirmation prophesied about Bethlehem is still Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. They took him to Bethlehem. Now, and you know, some of you know the story. You know, you've heard it said, I thought Jesus was from Nazareth. He grew up in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. We need to get our facts right. Because, you know, people try, well, but the Bible got all these conflicts and conflicts. Just study the Bible. It will prove to be right. And now, when we study about Jesus, we'll see that there's always opposition. Always this battle. In the beginning, the battle began when Satan deceived Eve. There will be enmity between his seed and her seed. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Herod. He inquired about Jesus, not because he wanted to go see him and send him some gifts. He inquired about Jesus because he wanted to destroy Jesus. As even today, there are those who want to discredit, to diminish the influence of Jesus. But Gary, there are other great prophets that have lived. Who are they? Don't say it in here. Yes, there are other prophets, quote unquote prophets, that have lived. There are none that compare to Jesus. And I know this is a biased audience, and I know most of you would agree with me. But even when you put it to the test, when you put it to the test of time, of research and study, there are none that compare to Jesus. Listen, even none of the prophets made the proclamation that all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. And so Herod wanted to destroy Jesus. Today, people want to destroy Jesus. But God is in this plan. God is in the plan. And God was in the plan even then. Listen to Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, Matthew 2:19. But when Herod died, see, Herod wanted to destroy Jesus. Now, I'll say this, because I just want to make sure I know I'm talking to the right crowd. I want to make sure you know whose side you're on, because when you study the Bible, everybody, anybody that opposed Jesus, they didn't win. Amen. So you don't need to be on that team. Yeah, You don't need to oppose Jesus, because when God gets ready to take his vengeance, when God gets ready to set the record straight, it's going to be straight. Amen. And Herod was the king, but Herod died. Amen. And listen to what else it says. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Yeah, see, Joseph had to, they had to do their part, and they went and had to get away for a while. And the other passage I mentioned a little bit earlier, and mentioned about Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, 2:23. Matthew, I have so many notes, I just have to stick to my time. Matthew 2:23. And he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. Nazareth was a, but now notice this, Nazareth also an obscure, a village, no name, and at the time, nobody, you say, well, where do you live? Like when you ask people from the country, you say, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from a place that's close to Dallas. But now I'm talking about, well, what's the name of the city? Oh, you don't know it. Like Brother Ray Wilkerson, he's from Ennis, Texas. Now, but we do know where Ennis is, don't we? I'm sorry, Brother Ray, I ain't mean to hate on you. Oh, raise your hand if you know where Ennis is. Okay, well, Brother Ray, look, a lot of people know where Ennis is. I'm sorry, okay. All right. Yeah, he say, ask about, yeah. How about, well, now, Waxahachie, they probably know where Waxahachie is. How about Wheels Point what? What is it, Wheels Point, Texas? Raise your hand if you know what Wheels Point is. Yeah, not many folk. Yeah, we'll compare that to Nazareth. And I only mention that Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem was near Jerusalem. It was near Jerusalem. But Bethlehem was, you wouldn't think that the Son of God, you wouldn't think that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you wouldn't think that the man who had all power in heaven and in earth would be born in Bethlehem? In Wheels Point? And grew up in Nazareth? I think I have a picture of Nazareth today? Nazareth today. Now Nazareth today is more modern, definitely more. There's Nazareth. Isn't that beautiful? But Nazareth during Jesus' time, man, nobody go to Nazareth. They even say, who, how can a king come from Nazareth? Now, I mentioned that because notice, as we study this biography of Jesus, notice God, his qualities, what God cherishes and what men cherish. Well, God, listen, those of us that's whether we're leadership, whether we're teaching, whether we're on our jobs, we need God honors. He says, he who humbles himself shall be exalted. He who exalts himself shall be abased. And I just, God is consistent. You know, God is consistent. That's why, you know, we need to remember that. We need to remember that. We don't need to. You quit. Stop beating your own. Humble beginnings. And, you know, I don't like people who showboat. But be careful when you're boastful and you braggadocious and you. Yeah. You hear more about this a little bit later on. And came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets years ago. He shall be called. And I just want to confirm, this is not any Jesus. But there were other people that were named Jesus. I know I read it in some other book. Not this Jesus. not Jesus of Nazareth, the one and only. And see, all of this is important because if somebody proclaiming they have all the power, if somebody's telling us we need to listen to everything that they say and these words are going to judge us in the last day, we need to make sure we got the right one. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. I got about 4 minutes. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And now, this is, and so I was going to go a little bit further, but I want to stick on this. Now, this is in between. Notice this, verse 21, Luke 2, 21. And when 8 days had passed, this is Jesus. He's been born. Now, another humble quality about Jesus. He was born in a manger, in a stable, if you will. Not a hotel. You're talking about the Son of God. In some of this, you know, when you read it, I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, you know what, boy? I was just thinking, if that was my son, he's going to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I probably would have put him up somewhere. Real nice. But thank God I'm not God. You know what else? Thank God you not God. God wants to include everybody. And he opposed elitism. When 8 days had passed before his circumcision, he was a Jew. His name was then called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. See, there is something in a name. At the name of Jesus, we're baptized in the name of Jesus. Listen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he was named Jesus. It was conceived before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And remember, he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is not that far from Jerusalem. So we know that they stayed in Bethlehem for approximately 7-8 days. He comes to Jerusalem in the day of his purification. You look in the Old Testament, you see that the male child had to be circumcised on the 8th day. Also, this to be fulfilled, a fulfilled prophecy. And it says this, is that they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves of two young pigeons, and there was a man. So they doing everything by the Jewish customs because Jesus was a Jew. And so Joseph and Mary were not accidentally picked. God didn't accidentally pick Mary to house the Son of God. She was a virgin. She was a holy woman. Her husband was respectful. Listen to what else it says. It says this. And, I need my glasses. Okay. Verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and his name was righteous. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, which was the circumcision, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." And his father and his mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your soul. Lord have mercy. To the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be, he's talking to Mary and Joseph, and they listening to all of this, and he says, oh, Lord, my eyes have seen your son, and they are listening. They're going there to circumcise the son. Now, Mary had already had a conversation with the angel, and the angel told her, Mary, for your womb is blessed. And she's a new mother. And she's receiving all of it. Don't you know Mary was full? And she's receiving all of this news. And both of them. And he even tells her, Mary, the sword is going to pierce you through and through. And it's talking about Jesus. Even now, prophesying about his future. About the future of Jesus Christ. Listen to the rest of this. I want to read the rest of this. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple. My faithful woman. Serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom and in the grace of God. And the grace of God was upon him. This is a summary of the early life of Jesus on earth. His infancy, his coming to this world, the way he came to this world, and gives us a preview that Jesus as a young... Now, you know, the Bible does not give a lot about Jesus' young life. But it said that he grew in wisdom, that he grew in stature. If the Lord says the same next week, I want to talk about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And you'll see that we pick up Jesus again at the age of 12... Then after that, all the way to the age of 30, most of Jesus's life on earth was spent in growing and training. His ministry lasted about three plus years, but a lot of things in his early life we don't read a whole lot about. But we can confirm without a doubt that so many prophesied about Jesus. We can confirm that he was born, that he lived an early life. He had parents on this earth. We can confirm that he truly is. He was and is the Son of the living God. Amen. And I hope as we go through this study, as we compound facts, we compound act upon act, word upon words. Our faith in Jesus Christ will be so strong that nobody and nothing can confront us about who Jesus is. Because the scriptures say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God, notice this, must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yeah, my kids, my grandkids, they watch cartoons. And their cartoons on now that I have heard of. And they start, and they be talking, they say, Big Dad, there's one called Shimmer and Shine. Some of y'all know Shimmer and Shine? See that? I told you. all these different, and they remember all in it, and, you know, and I said, you know what? No, we need to start teaching them. They need to know who Jesus is. Yeah. Not only them, all of us. We need to have material. We need to know Jesus' teachings, what he talked about, how he lived, what Jesus, there used to be a saying years ago, what would Jesus do? That needs to be at the core of our lives. You'll see as I close. You'll see one of Jesus' main missions he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, on this rock I will build my... at the core of his was his mission is to build his church, which is the kingdom of God, the church of God, the church of the living God. He says, I'm going to build my church. And if you're here today and you are not in the kingdom of God, you are missing the greatest blessing you can have before you leave this earth. Because if you're not in this kingdom on earth, you won't be in the kingdom in heaven. And if you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're here today and your faith in Jesus is not where it needs to be, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, to make sure your faith in Christ Jesus is where it needs to be. Because it's only in Jesus that we have the forgiveness of all of our sins. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're here today and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're here today and you're willing to repent of all of your sins, because the Bible says in Luke 13, verse 3 and 5, I tell you, neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. If you're here and you're willing to confess the sweetest name that you could ever confess, and that is the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you want to be baptized in water for the remission of all of your sins, that is what puts you in Christ. That's if you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. We're going to spend one Sunday, Lord says the same, on the death of Jesus Christ. And it's a shameful, shameful death. But it's only through the death of Jesus Christ that we live. If you're here today and you haven't been baptized, you haven't been baptized. He didn't ask us to go to the cross again, but he asked us to be baptized into his death and to rise to walk in newness of life. Notice this, the life of Christ, as if Christ would live. You're here today, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You can do that today. If you're here today and you have a prayer request, you need us to pray about something, we'll pray for you today. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cries, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
His love
lifted me,
even me.
Love lifted me,
even me.